Today's the third Sunday of Lent already, and the Gospel takes us to the temple. This is the well-known dramatic action of Jesus cleansing the temple or purifying the temple. It's quite a dramatic scene, and it's been variously interpreted, sometimes in very strange ways. You know, people say that Jesus lost his cool and just he got fed up, decided to blow his top. That's certainly not true. More fruitful reflection is on righteous anger or the right use of anger. That seems to be a case here. Almost every protest action, at least if it has Christians involved, looks to this event of the cleansing of the temple. I remember during the Arab Spring some years back when all sorts of upheavals were taking place and people were saying, well, we have to purify, we have to cleanse the government systems of all these countries. For sure, in Hong Kong, you know, the pro-democracy movement there, that's got deep Christian roots, in fact, explicitly Catholic roots. And they might look at a passage like this and say, we have to cleanse the temple of the nation. But I think Pope Francis describes it in a much more accurate way when he says this was a prophetic action. This was in the of the style of the prophets who did dramatic things in order to proclaim the word. Remember, Ezekiel had these, he carried his burden and made a hole in the wall and went out into the wilderness. And the people said, what are you doing? What are you doing? It was a prophetic action. So I think that's a good description of what Jesus does here, a prophetic action, an action that proclaims the word. And as the Pope points out, it wasn't just a violent protest. He wasn't even arrested. You would think if someone was making a big scene, as happens in most protests, the police come in and break it up and they arrest the leaders and that's how it ends. That didn't happen in Jesus' case. Instead, they came and said, what sign can you show us for doing this? So they were interpreting it already as an action that had meaning. You can also, if you want to get specific about it, Jesus did not gather a group of protesters. He didn't say, okay, let's cleanse this place. He didn't gather a crowd and make a scene. He himself was performing an action that had profound meaning. And when they ask him, well, what sign can you show us? He reveals he himself is the sign. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. So he wasn't just getting rid of some vendors. He was pointing to a new temple. He was pointing to the fulfillment of the meaning of the temple, which was always directed toward himself. Jesus is the temple, the new temple. His own body is the temple. Father Francis used to speak about the temple all the time, remember? He had several themes that around which he organized his whole spirituality: kingdom, temple, bride, and heart. Remember? Kingdom, so temple is one of the themes that Father Francis really emphasized. And this gospel certainly brings us to the temple and to the need for purification of the temple, which, yes, applies to the vendors, but applies to us in the season of Lent. What temple needs to be purified? Every temple. The whole world needs to be purified, and everyone seems to realize it. And the church needs to be purified, and it seems that everyone realizes that too. Our own community needs to be purified. Every family needs to be purified. And each one of us needs to be purified, needs to be cleansed. Lent is about cleansing our hearts so that we live according to the commandments. First reading was all the commandments. The commandments are not meant only as restriction, but as purification. Get rid of killing, get rid of adultery, get rid of lying, get rid of stealing. Get these out of the temple. Do not do this. Get rid of all the idols. Now, it strikes me on this day of reflection on purification that this anniversary is too significant to pass over. I'm talking about, yes, the anniversary of your stroke. Today is the second anniversary of your stroke. And since we're here in the shrine, we're not in the parish, so we can talk a little bit about how God is also working in our own lives. I think that Father Francis would do this. He would always ponder the scriptures in light of the personal experiences that we're passing through today, the now moment. So today's your second anniversary. I remember very well, March 7, 2019. That year, it was Easter was quite a bit later, so that was Thursday after Ash Wednesday, remember? Thursday after Ash Wednesday. So it was the very beginning of Lent, and you suffered that major stroke. It just collapsed there in the patio. And it's been 2 years that you've been in this debilitated condition. And for us, we're observing this terrible purification. And the beginning was really tough in the hospital. Remember that you had a broken arm, you had a cast, a feeding tube, all kinds of frustration and questions of what can be done, physical therapy and all kinds of things. But after a while, things settled down, and now peacefully observing the passing scene. It's striking in this sense too. These 2 years are almost exactly divided by the beginning of the pandemic. As if the first year was for Sister and for us, it was a purification of your life and of our lives. And then the second year, it's not March 7, but March 15, March 14, the whole world suddenly shuts down. And there's a purification of the temple of the world, a kind of casting out of all unnecessary things and what seemed to us to be necessary things as well. Purification. I remember last summer, after a couple of months into the lockdown, how clean everything was, how clean the air was, how there was no traffic and there was no noise and there was no garbage. Nobody was complaining about traffic then. In fact, only just recently, only this last 2 weeks, I've heard people start talking about traffic again. So a year without traffic. Anyway, I think looking at this from the perspective of what God is doing, we see how he cleanses us, how he purifies us. Even of things that we wouldn't have thought would need to be purified. I mean, what happened 2 years ago, a sudden end, a crashing end of all of our ministries to the poor. Before March 7, there were dozens and dozens of people here every day. After March 7, nobody came anymore. And it was so puzzling. Well, what were we doing? What was that ministry all about? Well, hard to evaluate it all, but certainly the Lord purified it. He also, over the months, over the years now, he's helped us to reevaluate what we were doing and how to do it better. In fact, even the financial aspects of it had to be purified. And who was accountable to who, and where was the money going, and to whom, and for what reasons? All those things had to be examined. It had to be purified. I think of the money changers here. We had lots of dealing with money changers in those days. had to be purified. And it was good that it's purified. Now, that's the point here. Jesus is not doing an evil thing. He's not doing a bad thing. He's doing a good thing. It's good to be cleansed. It's good to be purified. It's good that our agendas and our little temples and our little empires get brought down. Jesus says this so often. No, the proud have to be brought down and the humble can be exalted. No? So, and we all need this. This is not exclusive to the temple or exclusive to you or to us. Everybody needs purification. It's a love. It's divine love acting to make it possible for us to worship him purely. It's all about worship. What is supposed to happen in the temple? Worship of God. What creeps into the temple? Self, selfishness. Not always blatant selfishness, but disorders, misaligned priorities, sometimes manipulation, sometimes deception, sometimes just confusion. And God says, no, this temple is for worship. This family is for worship. This community is for worship. The church is for worship. Let's clean out this money and animals and business, this marketplace. It's not supposed to be a marketplace. Certainly we've seen this happening in the church. Every time a scandal comes up, we say, oh, another scandal. What? Another scandal. Sex abuse scandal, financial scandal, corruption scandal. What is this? Well, it's God purifying what shouldn't have been there in the first place. And it's terrible to have to be purified, but it's certainly better. It's what the psychologists call tough love. We need tough love. We need a love that's strong enough to overcome disorders. Or the poets call it severe mercy. Severe mercy. It doesn't seem like mercy at the time because it's severe, but boy, is it good to be under the reign of God and not under the reign of any human will. So this is what Jesus is doing. You say he's destroying the temple. Actually, he's preparing for a new temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. It's interesting that at the end of the gospel, we go from the dramatic action of the driving out of the money changers and all that, then to the discussion of the temple, so a shift of gears. Then at the end of the gospel, it's about human nature. You see, the temple is our own human nature, and it needs to be purified. Many people came to believe in his name, it says. Many people saw the signs. Another indication that this was a sign. This was a sign. They saw the signs, they came to believe in him, but Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. He understands human nature. He understands what is in this temple, which God has created in his own image to be a holy place, and what has to be purified. So he's constantly doing this. Thanks be to God that he is. The great purification which God does. Now, this isn't something that we do as if we suddenly decide to fast or become holy. God is the one who purifies. We don't even see the disorders. So God purifies. The great act of purification was the cross. Jesus purifies us all from all sin, from all evil, from the reign of death, by his own death. That's why this second reading is so beautiful. The Jews demand signs, the Greeks look for wisdom. We're all looking for signs, we're all looking for wisdom. The real sign is Jesus Christ. The real wisdom is Jesus Christ crucified. We proclaim Christ crucified, Paul says. A stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, and the cross will always be a stumbling block to our nature, our human nature. our corrupted human nature. It will always look like foolishness to us, but it is for us who are called the power of God and the wisdom of God. What looks like foolishness is actually wisdom. So this is it here, 2 years of living, of forced retirement. Oh gosh, what foolishness. What a cross. Well, it's God's wisdom. God's wisdom, it's God's power. It's God's tough love. It's God's severe mercy. God preparing us for pure worship, for lasting communion of love. And for that we give him praise. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.